Pretty Scary. With your hosts, Caitlin Cutt, Gary Martin, and Ben Todd Brown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo!
Pretty Scary Boo! I'm learning how things go here.
You're supposed to do that simultaneously with Carrie.
I'm notoriously...
Do we already have to fire our new intern?
Yeah, I feel like...
I'm notoriously bad at doing things at the same time.
Okay,
well... I almost feel like I don't even want to finger her.
Please do it.
Okay.
Oh, cute. They fingered. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Good.
How was Vegas?
Vegas was fun. I went to Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum.
Yes, and,
we should add, that's Vanessa Gritton is our guest this week.
Oh, hi, it's me, Vanessa Gritton.
And then it's me and Carrie Martin. You know
just us.
We're here all the time.
I never leave.
Never.
I just stay here and go through your drawers.
Carrie
and
lives
winter.
Here. Yeah.
I moved in.
And Vanessa, of course, from the Brouhaha podcast and from the Take a Walk podcast and from comedy.
You texted me about pizza from Vegas.
Because that pizza place
isn't
in
it so
Aria.
Good?
It's... I think I decided it's maybe my favorite pizza of all time.
It's honestly my favorite pizza, too. Kevin and I stayed in Aria, and we just stopped into that pizza place because we were tired and we didn't want to go anywhere, and it was, like, right under our hotel room.
Yeah.
And it was the best pizza I had had in a very... I think it's still the best pizza I've had.
Yeah.
What's
if anyone,
called?
It's called 550, and they sell by the slice.
And they're 550?
No. Oh. Of course, it's
That's
Vegas.
That's
misleading. Definitely not.
It's Vegas. They're, like, $14 each, but...
Wow. They're huge.
They're huge, and the pizza is... Mwah! It's so good.
There's supposed to be the secret pizza place in the Cosmo.
Yes.
That has no sign. And I think it's called the secret pizza
There's
place.
There's no sign. It's down a long hallway.
Right.
And it's almost always busy. I've been to Secret Pizza and I've been to 550 at Aria. And honestly, I'm going to say 550 is better.
Yeah. It's the best pizza I've ever had.
Although Secret Pizza is phenomenal too. But it's...
So now there's a plug for Aria and 550 Pizza.
Let me stay with you again, Aria. No, I want that.
We were
really
hoping
expensive.
Could sponsor us.
Yeah, would it be...
Pay us in pizzas?
In pizzas or money.
That they'll ship here?
Or casino chips that we could just take and gamble away?
Or Zach Bagan Museum entry tickets?
Or the $40 I put into the Sex and the City slot machine back?
That's what a Zach Bagans museum ticket costs, $44.
Ah.
How long did you spend there?
Well, it's a guided tour, so you don't really have a choice. Oh. Once you go, you're there for an hour and a half. But it's more like going through a haunted house.
Right.
I actually thought it was really well done and really fun.
That's what he texted me about. So you guys have pizza, but we have Bagans.
Yeah, yeah. We texted about Zach Bagans. And yeah, they take you through all these rooms. The thing that really got me was the smells. Like they make the room smell the way what's happening in that room should smell. Like they have Ed Gein's cauldron that he would boil women in so he could peel their skin off. And when you walk in there, it's just this intense burning smell. Like something has been burning, but something that you've never smelled burning before. Like it's a really weird smell. He has the basement from the Demon House movie set up, and it just smells like the most nasty, disgusting, moldy ass basement. That part... it's basically just a museum with creepy shit.
Right.
But the way they change from room to room, like the lighting and just the atmosphere in each room, it's really well done.
Smells will get me harder than an actual, like,
room. Yeah.
Because when we did that haunted house and they had that room with the cafeteria food in it, that's the one that got me because of smell.
And if you had gone in the bug room with me.
Oh, we're never going to let this go.
No.
No, it's
she abandoned me right before the bug room. It smelled like bugs. It smelled awful.
What does bugs smell like?
I guess you'll never know.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of on you. Yeah. Sorry to turn on you.
Yeah.
I didn't want to not girl code her, but I have to agree with Adam on this one.
Girl code says that if your friend's going to go into bug room, you got to go with that friend.
Yeah.
And I broke it.
Yeah, you blew
Has anybody ever wondered what a decomposing body smells like?
Yes.
Yes.
And I have no idea.
That would be interesting. If he had a suggestion box for like another room, that would be my suggestion.
Yeah. I wonder if the smell would just
be. It's so pungent.
Yeah, I wonder if it would just be so overpowering that you couldn't put people through that. But they do at each room, especially when it gets really sad and intense in certain spots. And there were rooms where several people just wouldn't go in.
Really? Did you get a certain feeling?
The Dybbuk box room was legitimately creepy because okay. he has the actual Dybbuk box from the movie Possession, and that's like a 100-year-old thing, but the movie Possession is based around that. We did an episode about haunted items. That's where the clothes in the chest song came from.
Clothes in the chest. Clothes in the chest. Ah. You want somebody dead, put their clothes in a chest.
That's the Dybbuk box.
Oh, I didn't know.
Put someone's clothes in
too.
The Dybbuk box, they're gonna die. He's got the Dybbuk box. And that was the first room where people started not wanting to go in. Because the thing with those kind of items, it's like it's a curse that you take with you.
I felt really weird when I read that book, The Amityville Horror. And it was just something about, like, I guess knowing it really horror? Happened.
Horror or horror?
The R silent.
Come and see me sometime.
Go on.
No, but I remember reading it when I was like 13. And I just remember just having this overwhelming, like, sense that there was something like evil, just even like reading the book. I don't know. So I wonder if I would take some of that on.
The room that freaked the most people out, I think only there were, I think, 15 people on my tour.
Yeah.
And only five of us went in the Peggy the Doll room, which they talk this doll up like, look, it's evil.
It's no Robert, right?
Yeah. And like the host, that your guide doesn't go in that room. She's like, I'm going to shut the door behind you and knock on the door to let you know the door is shut. And you'll be in there for about a minute and then we'll let you out. We're not going in there. If anyone doesn't want to go in there, we understand. And have you ever watched one of those ghost hunting shows where they have that machine that makes that really loud noise and they're trying to pick up EVPs with it? They have one of those going when you walk in the room and they're like, we have this thing going. If you want to try and contact her, feel free, but she is evil and we can't guarantee what's going to happen if you do it. And we went in and only five of us went in. And the first thing I said was, is anyone going to try to talk to Peggy? And everyone just...
And it was Angie, and right?
Angie didn't come to... She wouldn't. I know several people who wouldn't have made it past the first room in there. There's some creepy shit.
Oh, that's
shit.
Right. Angie said she didn't go.
Yeah. And yeah, everyone just nodded. So I just went, we're good, Peggy. And then I saw in movies.
He just can't turn off his comedy.
Well, I saw in a movie that when you encounter something like that, and it's a movie I just saw, so glad I saw it. I don't remember what it was. Oh, Pie Wacket. And I remembered.
Zintite.
Thank you. Pie Wacket's a really good movie. I remember from that movie, they were like, well, if you encounter something like that, you have to say goodbye when you leave or it's just going to come with you.
Right.
So on the way out, I just said, goodbye, Peggy.
My grandma used to say that shit.
Preventative.
Yeah.
She used to say that where she's like, if you encounter something like that, you have to say goodbye or else it takes you.
Grandma might have been right.
What's it cost me to say goodbye, Peggy, on the way out the door?
Yeah,
a few people laugh at me. Yeah, but they're going to die of cancer in 6 months because they didn't say goodbye to Peggy.
Yeah.
Oh, so you couldn't have said it for the group.
I don't think Peggy would have appreciated like a group kind of.
She wanted it personally.
Just a BCC with everyone else on it. And then, no, she's still going to, she's going to kill those
BCCs.
Well,
then that's on them.
Yeah. And then the last thing you go out through the taxidermy room, which is.
I love that. They have one at the Museum of Death, too. And those are my favorites.
The Museum of what?
Death.
I was telling Angie that I really want to go there. I think
I'll take you. Okay. I've been like seven times.
I think we should do a live Pretty Scary there.
Ben and Anne, our friend from Norway.
Anne, yeah.
Yeah.
Norway, right?
Yeah.
She went there and she was like, I was meeting her, I think at 5 o'clock. And I think she said she got there at like 1:30. And she was like, oh, I didn't know if I'd have enough time to go through. And I started laughing because I thought she was kidding. And she was like, oh, no, I could have stayed longer.
Yeah.
And I've heard it's very interesting.
It's fun. Actually, when Adam and I first started hanging out, I dragged him there because I think I take every friend I have there.
Oh, I was pretty excited to go.
Well, it's like a weird watermark when I'm like really close to someone where I'm like, I want to show you my special place. And my special place is the Museum of Death.
Yeah. No, I like it.
And I've taken like all of like my really close friends there where it's like, I want to see how you react to things. And I want to like see your face the first time you see it. Now it's a special place for me.
Yeah.
Do you think we could record there?
I think they might let us.
Okay.
I feel like we should ask about
it. They'd probably let us use it in a different room.
Because they have
that cut shirt when I go.
They have the room where we had the ghost dog experience.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Because
I almost forgot.
They tell you going in that there's a dog that just kind of lives there. It's the owner's dog, and he'll sometimes just let it run around. So if you see a dog, don't think anything weird of it. And me and Vanessa were in this room where they have this like video screen up, and it's just showing images, but there's no sound, and there's like a sitting area. And we were just looking around that room and I heard a dog, like a dog collar rattle behind me. And I was like, oh, cute. The dog must be in here, and turned around and there was no fucking dog anywhere.
Can I tell you something I recently found out?
What's that?
Because I've met the dog before. It startled the fuck out of me once in the Black Dahlia corner because it like touched its wet nose to the back of my ankle.
Yeah.
So I recently went back with a friend and I was like, hey, where's the dog? I haven't seen him sunning himself in a long time. And they're like, oh, he died a few years back.
Oh.
But then I was just kind of like, then what an animal!
Yeah.
Yes. We saw a ghost dog, or we heard a ghost dog.
And you can feel the ghost dog. That seems like the best kind of dog to have. You wouldn't have to walk it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would never
I mean, if it's shit, you're not going to see it.
Right. Ghost shit.
Yeah. Ghost shits.
Yeah.
Ghost shit killer. That's what I would name that dog.
I think it was like Buddy or something.
Hey, that kind of ties into what we're actually talking about today.
Because dogs are the victims
kind
sometimes.
Of.
Well, the chupacabra, which is... maybe just a dog with mange or a mythological beast.
And terrorized my childhood.
This show is like so good for learning, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what a chupacabra was. I'd heard the name before. He said that. I guess you're an expert.
Well, because I grew like every summer of my life, I'd get sent to Guatemala or El Salvador
to stay with
my grandparents.
Right.
It's free childcare, and it's just kind of like, this is how I make sure they maintain their main language. And those are the countries.
And what could go wrong for a kid in Guatemala in the 90s?
Nothing.
Right? Go on.
And those are the countries where that is something you hear about a lot, like even on our news stations sometimes, not all of them, but like our quirkier ones, a reasoning for like why a lot of like local farmers or whatever wake up with a bunch of dead chickens with very specific puncture wounds. And it was something whenever I was in either of these countries as a kid that I was so scared of that I would have like constant nightmares about it.
Right.
Because I was just like always on the ready, and we had chickens. We had so many chickens.
Again.
A favorite
as one does.
And so like I'd hear a chicken or something at night and I'm just like, oh, I'm convinced this is it, and I'm next somehow. I'm gonna be the first human victim.
Are they okay? So first of all, I thought it was a Mexican wrestler named Chupacabra. So again, knowledge is power.
It's a luchador.
Secondly, do they go after humans?
I've never heard of them going after humans, right. But I was convinced, kind of the way sometimes sharks think a surfer is a seal, that they might see me and be like, goat. Like, maybe. I don't know, maybe I'm kind of goaty. I was just convinced that I would just be in the crossfire.
Yeah. Goats seem to be their favorite target.
Right.
That's why, according to Wikipedia, chupacabra is a Spanish word that literally means goat sucker.
Literally both part of it.
Yeah. And Google Translate does not understand that, but...
I do.
Yeah. And it's the word chupar, which is to suck, and cabra, just goat.
Yep.
When you put the two together, it makes more sense.
It's a portmanteau. Call it the right thing, Google. Fucking assimilate!
Most of our words in Spanish are like that.
I think I've ever seen you so angry.
I get worked up over the chupacabra.
Yes, you do.
And I saw that it's because I was in contact with the Dybbuk box, and now...
You're angry.
Yeah, I'm really... I have a lot of spiritual aggression in me that I'm going to work out through this podcast.
You pop that Vegas cherry, and it's like, I don't even know you.
Yeah. It's great. So, yeah, it's... I am surprised you said you have heard the word.
I've heard the word, but I had zero idea what it meant or in what context I heard it.
The first purported sighting was in Puerto Rico.
Yep.
Good time to remind people that they could still use houses and power and probably water and food in that part of the country.
Yeah, that they bear.
That part of the country. It's our country. Don't forget that. They are American citizens.
According to our president, is it?
Well, yeah, that's true.
It is, according to Bethany Frankel.
It is what? A state?
Oh, I don't. Important. Yes,
it is.
Yeah, skinny margaritas in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly.
There's skinny popcorn, by the way.
It's delicious.
So good.
I love it.
I've never had it, but I'm sure it's great. Yeah, and the name comes from its alleged habit of drinking the blood of livestock, especially goats. Sidebar: goat meat, delicious on tacos.
It is birria.
Interesting. Is that what they call
it? Yeah, it's called birria. Mm. It's stewed goat meat. There's actually a place in Los Angeles that you can go to and get goat meat tacos where they also give you the broth that comes from it on the side.
Oh.
And I think it's like $4. I will take you. It's like $4.
I
want to
go there.
It
I haven't had.
So good.
You'd be a good LA tour guide.
Thank you. That's honestly an honor.
I should take a day off work and just pick you up.
I will take you both everywhere. I will take you to the taco place.
I'm down. Somehow, as a kid, despite growing up in Peoria, Illinois, I ate goat meat tacos constantly.
I don't think I've ever had goat.
My family always went to this Mexican restaurant.
I'm from Peoria, Illinois.
And
we're like four months apart, I think, but we went to different high schools.
My family took me to this Mexican restaurant all the time, and I just knew I liked the tacos. Uh-huh. And they were like, okay, that's fine. You like the tacos. We're not going to tell you what's in them. And eventually one day they were like, by the way, that's goat meat. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. These are delicious. Yeah.
I will take you both for goat meat and death museums.
Yeah. I'm down. I'm way down.
You tell me when. I will put in that vacation request stat.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. So yeah, goat is delicious. Chupacabra eats goat.
And chicken.
And now it makes more sense.
Stands to reason. Yeah.
But he also sucks off goats.
It's,
right? What?
I was waiting for you to catch up.
He sucks off goats?
Our intern got it. Catch up, Adam.
I got it. So what does it look like? Physical descriptions vary.
I actually have the exact image in my head of the one that was used on TV all the time as a kid.
Yeah, it looks kind of like a...
like a really lizard sloth?
Angry coyote that fucked a lizard.
Because it's got... because most of the ones I hear through the most, like, if I just... if I don't even look at that, if I just straight up close my eyes and think of what they would, like, do the sketch illustrations of when farmers talked about it, it has spines down its back. It's kind of leathery looking with, like, weird tufts of hair in places and, like, really big eyes because apparently it could see really well at night and, like, big canines.
Right. It looks like an alien dog.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Also, like, a little iguana-y, and which makes sense because all of the countries that report it, we have a fuck ton of iguanas.
Yeah. So a dog fucked a large iguana
dog-guana.
At some point. And yeah, it's a dog-guana.
That's what it made.
A dog-guana.
Huh.
Is the correct word for the chupacabra.
I wonder if you could get chupacabras fixed.
I think you'd have to catch it first.
Or are they like guinea pigs where you want to have the same sex ones together?
Exactly.
Fair.
Yeah, we had a long talk about guinea pigs before this.
Because it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Things I never talk about until I see Vanessa.
Yep. Guinea pigs
and death.
Chupacabra, the death museum. Vanessa Gritton's here.
Goat tacos.
Goat tacos. Oh, I'm so excited.
I can't wait to take you.
Yeah, I really want to go. So let's talk about a little bit of the history behind this thing. The first reported attack happened in 1995 in Puerto Rico. That part's interesting to me because aside from maybe the Montauk Monster, do you remember that thing?
Yes.
That just like washed up on a beach in New Jersey or New York and people were like, what is that?
When was that? I feel like it sounds kind of familiar, but again.
It was recent. It was in the internet age.
It was recent and it was big in the cryptozoologist world because it was very much, it looked like a tiny Loch Ness, but it was just like a weird bloated skinned.
Yeah, it was. I forget what it was. But it was just like a regular ass animal, like a raccoon, I think.
Yeah, and it was a raccoon because of the shape of raccoon skulls.
Yeah.
Because it's very much like a big C shape from incisor to bottom jaw. It looked crazier when it was like bloated in the water and tanned in the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, huh. But it was just a raccoon. But beyond that thing, I can't think of any other monsters that have come into the public consciousness in the modern era. That's really interesting.
95 seems pretty recent.
Yeah, that's by then we were all pretty skeptical of stuff like this.
Right. Yeah, because we'd lost steam. As a child and still now, I'm obsessed with cryptozoology. So we had like lost steam on Bigfoot. And by this point, rumors of the thylacines were still being alive were gone. And nobody really cared about Mothman anymore. So this is the one.
We do. And you will too on this podcast.
I do.
Vanessa, what is this?
It is a moth.
It's Mothman?
It is Mothman.
Okay, thank you.
It is Mothman.
Jennifer Sturger called this a bat last time.
That is not a bat.
And I edited that shit out.
Yeah, she's not invited back.
Like,
we love you, Jen Sturgeon.
I love Mothman and another person.
I edited
that
a lot out of that episode.
Thank you, by the way. I was almost hoping that maybe you wouldn't release it.
No, I fixed it. I'm sorry. Go on, Vanessa.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, in the public eye, we hadn't had one of those in a while. So Chupacabra came up and it very much leaked over from Hispanic countries to like American countries where even like saw jokes and stuff about it in media because it was very much like an all consuming thing.
Right. And it's, you know, it's the kind of thing, because it's not happening here, it's all South America, Central America. It just seems, I don't know. It's crazy that this has spread in this kind of age where it's things like, but it was also kind of the cusp of the internet. With it being 95, it wasn't,
yeah.
We had the internet, but not in the way where you could upload a picture and be like, look what I just saw. What is this? And Reddit would tell you 15 minutes later what it was.
Right.
Like, it was kind of that perfect time for something like this to start, but still spread because the internet was coming. But I just thought that was interesting that it's such a modern phenomenon.
Well, how much, I mean, how many times has this thing been cited?
Countless.
Yeah, there have been a lot of sightings of
it. So many.
Still? Like, what's the most recent one?
Like, I feel like the most recent one, honestly, could have been like a last month kind of deal, because it's very much just like a constantly talked about entity in Central America. Because the thing of it is, it's kind of like aliens here with rural farmers, in that most of our chupacabra reports in Central America are coming from farmers in really rural areas, and it's very much like a slow news day kind of deal.
Right.
Yeah.
And when the first sighting was reported, there were 8 sheep that were discovered dead, each with 3 puncture wounds in the chest area and
wounds
completely
in wounds in the chest. What, somebody dead?
Wounds. Put some wounds in the chest.
Wounds in the chest. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
And completely drained of blood. If that part's true, that's weird. Like, that's alien shit there.
Every single time, that's the most common denominator with reporting, is that they are drained of blood. I don't know how they can verify that they're drained of blood, but every report is that they're drained of blood.
Well, I did read one thing that was kind of debunking the chupacabra idea, and it claimed that, one, every animal that's ever been captured and reported as a chupacabra has been analyzed and determined to be just a regular fucking animal. But also that in a lot of the claims where they say the blood was drained, there was still blood.
Yeah.
So at that point, I don't know. Are people just...
I think people are just saying it because we don't actually know what drain... I think in people's heads, blood is like air in a balloon. And we don't actually know what drained of blood looks like. So when they see something like maybe like a sunken in chest or like a stomach that fell in, they're just like, oh, it's drained of blood, as opposed to, no, that's what bodies do when they sit for a while.
Right.
So I think it's more than anything, it's not that they're drained of blood. I think that's the most common report, because when we hear chupacabra, because sucker is in the name, we think something was pulled out, and the assumption is that blood is like air in a balloon that keeps it shape.
Well, they probably bled out, and that's how they died, and so that's what they're saying. It does seem weird, though, like the 3 puncture wounds, because you said they have like the 2 incisors.
Yeah, it's usually 2 on the top and 1 on the bottom, or just like it varies, but it's always going in between 2 and 3 puncture wounds. So not so much like bite around it, but straight up like almost like hypodermic needles, like what snakes have, or like vampire bats, or what's the other one? Anything that can like stick a thing in, melt some shit, and suck it out.
That's what she said.
Porn stars?
Yeah.
Thank you. We do good work here. Welcome to this podcast, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Did a spirit just leave your body?
Yeah, I just coughed one out.
I brought that back for you from Las Vegas.
Yeah, it was Peggy. From Zach Baggins. She didn't like it.
I brought you one too. It's inside you, Carrie. Okay. Yeah.
Thanks.
Peggy says sup.
Goodbye, Peggy.
Goodbye, Peggy.
Goodbye, Peggy.
So let's talk about the Mocha vampire, because this was a creature in 1975 that basically did the same thing. It killed livestock. It drained blood, and it was also in Puerto Rico. It allegedly terrorized residents of the municipality of Mocha in 1975. Ranchers reported animals being violently slaughtered and drained of all blood, and the first targeted area was the Barrio Roca region. And several goats, at least 4 pigs, numerous chickens, and more than a dozen cows were all found dead with puncture marks on their bodies and all drained of their blood. I cannot find any official sources about this incident happening in 1975 in Puerto Rico, if you can believe that.
Hmm.
Somehow Puerto Rico does not have all of their periodicals from the 70s contained in one easy archive for me to access.
Is that a microfish?
I'm sure they'll get it up and running soon, and I'm sure it's a list.
I'm sure that
top of their priorities
before electricity and water,
microfilms.
Yeah, Mocha Vampire plumbing. Info.
Right,
running water, food. Houses, food, yeah. Things like that.
Controlling the incoming before Nile Mayfix. Virus.
Yeah, yeah. Stopping the cryptocurrency bros from turning Puerto Rico into a utopia like they want to do.
And the disaster capitalism that follows. That is a book by Naomi Klein that you should all read.
Disaster capitalism?
Yep.
I will check that out.
How many hot tubs does it have in it?
Oh, it's called the Shock Doctrine.
Oh, yeah. I have heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the first 1995 incident happened in March of that year. In August, a woman named Madeline Tolentino reported seeing the creature in the Puerto Rican town of Canabanas, when as many as 150 farm animals and pets were killed. You do not fuck with the pets.
Yeah, I feel like that's like too much.
Yeah, you kill the farm animals, but you don't kill winter.
Dogs, chickens could be children pets. Are off limits.
That's true.
Sorry, this is just a girl who's developed many emotional attachments to chickens.
Have you seen Lost in Space on Netflix?
No.
Watch it.
There's chicken pet?
Is it chicken heavy?
There's a pet chicken. It's also just really good.
Oh, man.
I thought that was like a cheesy 60s show, and it was, but it's dope now.
Okay.
That's a sidebar. Everyone
watch
Lost
that
in Space?
When you're high?
I do everything when I'm high. Yeah. So that
it doesn't slow you down. I like it.
Yeah. If I was more into it than you'd expect, the question should be, well, were you high when you watched it?
Right.
Because if not, like maybe you should get high first and see the world the way you normally see it and then tell me if it was good or not.
Right. I have a friend who keeps trying to push sativa on me because her selling point is, Carrie, it's like cocaine, which almost makes me want to try it.
It is. It's basically, it's a stimulant version of weed.
It's just honestly like it's better than drinking.
And, I love it.
And yeah, it somehow is not the one that makes you paranoid.
Yeah, I would like that too.
Yeah.
I'm efficient yet calm.
Yeah, I fucking love a sativa.
The best.
It's my favorite.
Maybe I should give it a whirl.
It's just like it's like Adderall or something.
It's like Adderall that doesn't make you freak out.
Yeah.
Adderall makes me actually extremely horny.
Okay, that's weird.
So,
I mean, weed I get might it, do and that also too. So does sativa. I don't know what it is. They both do it.
Interesting.
Yep. But yeah. Not frantically so. So chupacabras.
So in all of these cases, the killings were first attributed to satanic cults.
Yep.
And boy, do I have a theory about that. But
we're constantly talking about it because my grandmother would even let me say the word Santeria as a kid.
I do feel like that's bad. That's like black magic, right?
Did she just hate Sublime?
I mean, she hated Hacky Sack.
Later, and Long Beach Dub All-Stars.
Well, it's very much like a constant fear. Everything, fucking everything either goes to Satan or Chupacabra. It's one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, there's something to that. Like, why say words you don't need to say? Like, I had a friend as a kid right after I saw the movie Poltergeist.
Was he imaginary?
No, but he was like, oh, you know how you get a poltergeist in your house? You worry about maybe you have a poltergeist in your house. And for like years after that, I had it in my head, like, don't think about ghosts. Don't think about ghosts because you'll have ghosts in your house.
Like,
and I'm going
to manifest it.
I'm going to tell you this. I've never had a ghost in my house.
Well, then he was right.
So the secret
theoretically
works.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
So anyway, we'll talk about, I do have a conspiracy theory related
randomly
to that.
Poltergeists make me extremely horny too.
Interesting.
Vanessa, I get that.
Good. These are typically my contributions to the show. Just FYI, in case you come back for another episode.
I'll be coming back for
like,
interning.
This is me peeking.
So, so one of the theories about this is some people wonder if Madeline Tolentino, when she first described the animal, was she just describing Syl from the movie Species? And this is a free episode, I believe. Or either way, we'll put a picture of this online, but there is a picture of Syl from the movie Species, or you can just Google it, you lazy fucks. And that does kind of look like the description.
Yeah.
And
the spines on the back.
An American writer named Benjamin Radford did a 5-year investigation and concluded that Madeline Tolentino's description of the creature was actually based on the monster Syl from the movie Species. It was, this is a quote from him, "It was a creature that looked like the chupacabra with spines on its back and all. The resemblance to the chupacabra was really impressive." Or that's a quote from Madeline Tolentino. But so does that quote sound like she thought she saw the movie, the monster from the movie Species?
I don't think so. More than anything, that was just her saying like, oh, weird coincidence. It had the spines on it. But most descriptions that I hear, it's dog sized, not human sized. Yeah. And it doesn't look human. I've never heard a description where it's humanoid. It's usually like dog like or iguana like or it's very much more animal. And that is something with like a clear ass face and hair and everything.
And this is his quote. Species came out around this time, so she believed that the creatures and events she saw in Species were happening in reality in Puerto Rico at that time. I feel like that's also borderline, like, not, I don't know if it's racist, but just like,
it's a little gaslighty.
Fucking third world idiots don't know the difference between movies and real life. Like, no one's gonna fucking see Species and think they just saw the and if she did, she'd be like, I saw the monster from Species, guys. It ate the goats. She wouldn't like make up a new monster.
Yeah.
And I feel like that simple of an explanation really leans on the person in question being dumb. And it just feels, it feels weird. Like that, I don't like that. I don't like writing it off as she saw something in a movie and thought it was happening in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of far-fetched. So what is Benjamin Radford known for? He's an American writer and like a skeptic.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like if like that's his thing, like
American writer and worst guy at parties.
Oh, for sure. The guy in the corner that nobody wants to talk to.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're the contrarian.
Yes. And what I really hate about Americans and their approach to conspiracy theories is we put so much weight in the source as far as where is this conspiracy theory information coming from. And even if it's like a retired 5-star general, we'll be like, that fucking crazy guy. He fucking retired and lost his mind. But then like dickpage.blogspot.org could be the one to debunk it. And we'll be like, see, it's been debunked.
It's on the internet.
Yeah, this blog clearly debunked it. And then when you look into the people debunking this shit, it's like, well, why would I trust you? Like, you're no better than, like...
I think a lot of people now just like to argue for the sake of arguing.
Yeah.
I feel like in a lot of cases, especially when it comes... Because I get what Adam's saying when it comes to conspiracy stuff, and that we're so quick to write off somebody that might be either A, emotionally invested, or B, not that educated as, like, a crackpot when it comes to conspiracies. But those are also, like, the same people that are like, my kids are sick when they're drinking the city water, and it's like conspiracy, and then Erin Brockovich comes along.
Yeah.
It's conspiracy until it's not.
She did do good work.
Yeah.
Yeah, conspiracy, the word has taken on such a derogatory meaning now that it's like all you have to do is say that word. It basically now applies to anything that's outside the mainstream reporting. So until, and there's always people who are like, I'll believe it when I see it. And even then, there could be like FBI files released and they'll be like, well, the FBI didn't come to my house and tell me. So it's frustrating because it makes it hard to, some of this shit needs to be investigated.
People get redacted from history all the time. We would have never known about Katherine Johnson because they wouldn't publish her work for NASA.
Right.
If it wasn't for the fact that like later in life, people are like, oh yeah, she was a big part of getting, you know, the first man to space. People have been redacted from history before.
Right.
It's not uncommon or weird.
We wouldn't know half of what we know about MK Ultra, which was the CIA's like 30-year mind control program, if one person didn't accidentally file 20,000 documents in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Because all the other records got destroyed and one person filed a box in the wrong place. And that's how we found out. But otherwise, we'd never know. Like, we wouldn't know any of this shit. And I sometimes feel like there's a conspiracy behind the people who debunk conspiracies sometimes.
Yep.
Where it's more like, I don't trust you to not be part of the conspiracy also.
I don't trust you to dislike the inherent idea of questioning. I don't trust anybody that doesn't like, that wants to shut down doubt for the mere existing of doubt. Yeah. Like, there's a reason I converted to Judaism, and that's because the only religion that's like constantly question and doubt everything.
Yeah.
And if anybody is ever like, don't doubt, don't question, just go with it, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you if I can't ask anything?
Yeah. And no matter how much we don't trust our government, that still is the American viewpoint on conspiracy theories in general. Is just, now everything we've been told is true and it happened exactly that way. And that's an insane way to think.
Yeah.
Like, we know our government has covered things up in the past. At every fucking government level, be it local or federal, cover-ups happen. Like, it's not that unusual of a thing. It doesn't necessarily mean I think the chupacabra is real.
Yeah.
But still, just the fact that Species came out around the same time this woman saw that animal or whatever she saw, doesn't mean she thought she was seeing a movie monster.
It could have been a rabid animal.
Yeah. Fucking arrogant pricks.
Maybe there was sexual tension between those two.
Could be. Yeah. Maybe they saw Species together.
Together.
Maybe they, yeah, I bet that's what it was.
Probably.
They went on a date. She didn't sleep with him. He sent her an invoice mm-hmm. for the movie mm-hmm. tickets and the drinks and the food.
Like a Venmo request?
Yeah. She didn't pay it. Now he's out here discrediting her chupacabra theory.
It happens.
Fucking dudes, man. Come
on. Guys can be the worst, which, speaking of, do we talk now or later about the Tristan Thompson scandal?
Who's that? What?
Do we talk now or later about the Tristan Thompson conspiracy theory?
The guy that cheated on Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, what's the conspiracy theory?
Oh, nothing. I don't know. I just wanted to work it into our episode.
It's a good Google when you get a chance.
Yeah, we were talking about the 300,000 comments that have been left
on his gram.
On the gram.
That he has not turned off.
How do you know he hasn't? So he just hasn't turned off comments?
Yeah, because they're recent. Yeah, I mean, people days later are still commenting.
Oh, you can do that? You can just turn off comments for a post? Oh, wow.
Right?
I'm not on the gram enough.
You can also delete unfavorable ones.
Oh, that's like that.
That's my
favorite. Well, I like that Facebook, if you have a like a group page or a, like a fan page, they'll let you hide comments from the public. But if that person comes back, they'll still see the comment there. So they think it's still there, but
that's tricky.
I love doing that.
Yeah, it's great.
I have to do that a whole bunch.
There was something on the internet, some meme about Mark Zuckerberg, because obviously he just went through that, what, I don't know, not trial, but whatever it was, where they were asking him questions
about Cambridge Analytica.
Thing, yeah.
And there was one picture where he looks so scary, and someone's like, this is what happens when you drink too much red wine and cut your own bangs, because that's exactly what it looked like. He was like pale-faced, and like his eyes were kind of red, and he's not very attractive.
No, he's not.
He looks like somebody who would kill somebody.
Yeah, he for sure has a body somewhere. Speaking of bodies, one of the theories about the chupacabra is that they're just Mexican hairless dogs. Kind of like the cute jiggly guy from Coco, but if you look them up, they are a little creepy. I want one. I want one more than anything in the universe.
Yeah, Mexican hairless dog.
And yeah, actually, this is one of my favorite.
Oh, they're cute.
This is one of my favorite theories.
Same.
In terms of what the chupacabra might be.
Because they look so similar.
But the puncture wounds would still be confusing.
My next theory will explain that.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
I was, but now I'm not.
I don't want you to, Carrie.
Okay.
I want you to feel secure in where this podcast is going.
Okay.
Do you feel secure?
I feel more secure.
Can we carry on?
You can carry.
Finger me. Carry on.
Did you get that, Vanessa?
I got
it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. If people go out, just Google Mexican hairless dogs, and that looks about right. Yeah.
They look, if you look at the chupacabra description, they both have that leathery look to them.
Right.
Especially because a rabid cholo, maybe that it has mange and it's in the sun, has a very lizardy look to it.
Right.
I would wonder if they got sunburned.
Well, yeah, we're looking at really healthy Mexican hairless dogs. Mm. And conceivably, the ones people are seeing are not that healthy, which is going to give them a more rabid and scary alien kind of look.
That's fair.
You can get a little rib to it, too, so it looks more arched because there's no hair filling out that area.
And even their skin drying out could be mistaken for, like, scales on the back.
Maybe they just have a rash.
Yeah. Maybe there's a rosacea or something.
Maybe they do have rosacea.
Poor or
psoriasis,
puppies.
Maybe they have psoriasis.
Also, if you want to look them up because their names are so long and crazy, I just recommend looking up Xolo, which is spelled X-O-L-O, because the entire name is a Mayan mouthful.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that word. Pronounce it for us. Go.
We just say it for it's Mayan is pronounced really differently from how it's spelled. So like you see X-O-L-O, but that's pronounced Xolo. So Xolo.
Xolotzquince.
I mean, you just said Sholo 15. Sholo eats Quinotil.
That's what I just said.
I struggled through it, so I probably missed a vowel somewhere
at the end.
Sholo Quincy. It's the name of the Cholo Quincy's. Cholo Quincy's.
We just call them Cholos.
Yeah. We just call them Cholos. Yeah. Mexican hairless dogs. I feel like that could be possibly it. But also, I don't know if anyone read the link I put here for my personal conspiracy theory.
Ooh.
Of what. Because, see, I think the Mexican hairless dogs explain the sightings and what people were actually seeing. One of my favorite conspiracy theories ever is that at some point in the past, and Carrie won't like this because she doesn't like alien stuff. But
no, I don't either.
Yeah, I'm not really into space stuff.
Well, I mean, it scares me.
Oh, I just find it boring.
At some point in the past, there's no way you'll find this boring. It's believed by some conspiracy theorists that at some point in the past, we made contact with a group of aliens called the Greys, mm-hmm. and that they had such advanced technology that we made a deal with them where if they shared their technology, we would let them kind of experiment on our animals and sometimes our people. And we would just pass it off as, chupacabras, man, or yeah, it's just a crazy guy killing prostitutes. And at some point, this deal got out of hand and they start killing kids and women. And according to the theory, there's a point where we send the Marines in to raid an alien base and 66 of them die. Oof. But I feel like I want the chupacabra to be tied to that, where people are like, why are these animals being drained of blood and they only have these three puncture wounds? And we're like, it's fucking mythological dogs, man. It's definitely not that deal we signed in the 70s, still fucking killing us to this day.
The fact that I'm reading the Greys and then two bullet points later, I see something about the satanic panic is interesting. Can you explain?
Well, because if you look into the Greys theory, at one point in the 80s, when kids start going missing at just a really alarming clip, one of the theories behind this deal with the Greys is that was the point in history where we turned on them because we realized they were abducting kids.
Okay.
And that theory, we've done an episode about it before, but one of the components of that theory is the government making up stories to hide what's happening with the Greys. And the chupacabra could be that.
This is kind of, I like this theory. It's fun.
It is.
We're on board. It's, Team Gray.
It's a really fun theory.
And Team 50 cover-ups of Greys.
I want a movie about the Marines trying to infiltrate that underground base and dying.
Aren't there different Greys, too? There's, like, long Greys, short Greys.
Yeah, I think it's the shorter ones that they send out to do, like, field work and, like, probe people and things.
Would you say 50 species of Greys?
You motherfucker. I know what you're doing right now. God damn it. There.
It's right there.
But that's what I want that to be true.
Same.
I want it to be that it's actually way crazier than chupacabras. It's actually just the government made a deal with these aliens, and this is another one of their cover stories to hide the fact that we're letting aliens run amok on our livestock and our kid stock.
You're right. I did like this one.
Yeah.
Thanks, see? Adam.
See, it's different than just seeing UFOs or something boring
right,
like that.
Right, yeah.
This
lights
is like
in the sky.
Secret meetings and things like that. Love it.
Secret handshakes. Secret meetings lead to secret handshakes.
They do. Like our fingers. Secret when we fingers. Finger.
Oh, here's a fun, weird thing, maybe. Finger me dead on. Like, just push right inward. Look at the finger.
What?
Look, I don't have joints in any of the tips of my fingers.
Okay. Wait, why not? No. What?
I saw that.
I mean, I have them, but I can't. They're double. See, like how weird.
Are all your fingers still
jointed? All of them are like that. It's
do you
why
want me
I can't
to keep trying?
Yeah, I can't play string.
Still pressing on her fingers.
Yeah,
she is cracked. They're all very bendy. They're bending backwards.
Yeah,
and that doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. It
I don't feel
anything,
like you should
actually.
Say that on
Look.
A podcast. The government's going to come
see?
Round you up.
It's why I can't play string instruments.
Gray.
Are you a gray?
Oh, do I not know that I'm a gray and that's why I just don't have, I have weird bones in my hands?
Maybe.
Or did they take my bones?
Is that why your name is Vanessa Q Public? That's weird.
Vanessa Grayton.
Oh!
I'll edit out the silence between me trying to hit the air horn and me actually hitting it. Or maybe I'll just leave it in.
Leave it in. It's more organic. And also, I'm going to make you touch my fingers later, Adam.
Ooh,
it's really creepy feeling for everyone because it feels like you're just touching something that shouldn't do that.
Did I break it? But yeah.
I can tell from looking at it.
You didn't look to be in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's gross. It's like one of those sticky hands that you can get from a toy machine in the 90s. But my...
Are you a chupacabra?
A lady massaged my hand the other day and she like yelped. She's just like, she was like rubbing my hands and then she's like, ah, why do they do that?
We wish we knew.
It's like, I don't know, lady.
And then you put 3 puncture hole wounds in her chest, didn't you?
Don't tell anyone.
Okay.
Holes in the chest.
Holes in the chest.
You want somebody dead? Put some holes in the chest.
We did a good job.
We did.
Yeah.
We did really good.
I think I was a little pitchy, but.
This was a fun episode.
It was fun.
I think we covered everything about the chupacabra. I mean, I'm sure we didn't cover everything. And there's videos out there. You can go.
Got the meat of it.
Because it's a dog.
Yeah.
It's a good puppy.
It is a good puppy. A good hairless puppy.
Good hairless.
Let's shave
puppy.
Winter after this and see what winter looks like.
The hairless. Way she sheds, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Also, if you get a chance, wait till summer. Look up different Spanish news sites where they talk about the chupacabra because it's surreal to be like, anyways, traffic's going to suck. Second chupacabra sighting this week. It's just a delight.
Yeah. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? I think this is a Patreon-only episode, so you don't have to subscribe on Patreon. You already do that. Thank you, baby.
I love
you. Thank you, baby.
We love you so much.
And also, I believe May 26th is our Brouhaha Live date.
That's correct. Yeah. At the Hollywood Hotel. Come out to that.
We're going
to
have a trumpet.
What the fuck?
We're going to have prizes.
That's exciting.
It's going to be a spectacle.
Is someone playing the trumpet?
Someone's playing the trumpet. We have someone with a guitar.
Is it a butt trumpet?
There's going to be a weird little game show moment. There's prizes. It's going to be nutso.
I'm very excited for that.
The prizes sound fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's mentioned them a couple times. Prizes. He doesn't like prizes.
What do you two have to plug? Carrie?
Oh, I don't have anything. But if you could go on wherever the show airs and give us 5 stars.
iTunes.
Sure.
Give us whatever.
Whatever you crazy kids are listening to us on. 5 stars and a nice comment would be good. I just noticed we're down to 4.5 stars.
Oh, I don't like that.
Oh, I don't either. We were at like 4.8 for a while.
Yeah.
So,
we need to brush them haters off, I think.
Yeah, that really surprised me because every other episode is Patreon.
Yeah.
So, I feel like it wouldn't be one of our own. Who turned on us?
I don't know. What if we have somebody in the ranks about it? Honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised.
You know who's behind this? Chet.
Probably Chet Wild.
Probably Chet.
Guy's up to no good.
Put some clothes in his chest.
Now I'm looking for that comment that brought it down.
We should get out of here, though, right? Let's get out of here. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Vanessa, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.